the beauty of Web 3 versus Web 2 is that Web 3 is encouraging and empowers transparency. It also allows us to scale and create movements in ways that we were often either siloed or prevented. And especially, you know, for, you know, our women audience or those that identify as women or non-binary that have been for far too long, you know, not only not given the seat at the table, but when given the seat at the table, not given the voice or the impact that we needed.
Welcome to the Sisterhood Club podcast, where we talk all things business, Web3, and NFTs. We're on a mission to educate, elevate, and empower women into the world of Web3. So join us on this journey as we learn together from leading experts. And remember, this podcast is for entertainment purposes only. So please do your own research and enjoy today's episode. Hello and welcome to another episode of the Sisterhood Club podcast with myself, Georgie Hubbard.
And me, Pam Caldwell.
And today we are very excited as we have our first male guest on the Sisterhood podcast. And I couldn't ask for a better male guest because today we are joined with the one and only Brian Fanzo. And I just want to say before we get into this conversation today that Fanzo has really influenced Pam and I and our Web3 journey and definitely helped us navigate this bear market, kept us motivated, inspired us, educated us. I've listened to his podcast every single day since he started. And just want to say, Fanzo, like, thank you, because running our own podcast, we know how much work goes into it. So I've got so much respect for you for doing it every single day and being a guest on a podcast as well. So thank you so much for everything that you're doing. I just want to take a moment to really say that it is inspiring and thank you so much. And it's just absolutely great to have you here today.
I mean, now you set the bar. I have to really deliver on this episode now. But I mean,
no pressure
at all. No, thank you so much for the kind words. I'm honored to be the first, you know, male guest. And, you know, for me, you know, the reason that I do the podcast every single day and the motivation is, you know, hearing amazing things like that and just knowing the, you know, impact, you know, I've been able to make. And today was, you know, episode 284. So 284 days in a row has been a wild ride, but this is the fun part because I now get to sit on this side and have a good conversation. So I appreciate you having me and really, you know, I appreciate the kind words.
Yeah, no, absolutely. Well, let's kick off because a lot of people in Web3 will know you as Fanzo. But before we get into like what you're doing now and your podcast and your journey, take us back. Like what, you know, what's your background and what got you into Web3? What was your journey like from, you know, sort of Web 2 into Web 3?
Sure. No, yeah. Happy to share. You know, for me, you know, I went to school thinking I was going to be a sports broadcaster. And then I realized you had to be good at journalism and English. And that was not the strong suits of mine. And so I kind of I jumped over to computer science and worked in the computer side. But I was never great at computer science, but I could understand some of the methodology. And I ended up, you know, getting a job for the U.S. government in cybersecurity, interestingly enough. And and during the interview, they asked me like three questions about cybersecurity if I knew. And I answered no to all three. And because I didn't know anything about cyber. And they were like, well, we don't have to unlearn you of anything. And we feel like you have good communication skills, which was something that was kind of lacking in the early 2000s in cybersecurity. And, you know, I worked there for a decade, 10 years at the government in cybersecurity, traveled to, at the time, it was 54 countries. I've now had the luxury of being into 76 countries total. And mostly was worked around helping different branches of the military, U.S. military at different bases in different countries, collaborate and share cybersecurity policies. So a lot of what my job was to do was like to translate like why this technology mattered. And, you know, I was in war zones from Iraq, Afghanistan to, you know, different military bases, just trying to help them understand why the tech was there and then how we could like kind of simplify it. And I loved it. It was an amazing, you know, job. And I got promoted and they had said something like, you're going to work in cybersecurity for the rest of your life. And cybersecurity was kind of taking off. And something I've learned about myself is that I don't like complacency. I don't like, I get scared of a place of complacency. And I ended up leaving that job about 2 weeks after I got promoted and said, I don't want to work in cybersecurity the rest of my life. I'm not really sure what it is I want to do, but the dream job that I always looked at was, Guy Kawasaki at Apple, which he was a technology evangelist. Mm-hmm. He was really, you know, Steve Jobs' right hand yep. person. And I always loved because he explained it as he wasn't a salesperson. He wasn't a marketer. He was someone that was building community and helping people see through a lot of the technology. And I was lucky to do that for a couple of years at a startup. And then I went on my own, and I've been on my own now about 9 years. And I'm a full-time keynote speaker, travel around the world speaking at different events. And, you know, I actually started talking blockchain, funny enough, back in 2015, because I loved the transparency that blockchain enabled. Like, that's what got me excited. Like, I didn't, and actually there's a tweet now that I don't think it's famous tweet. It's kind of I said, you know, I love the blockchain, but I really hope that cryptocurrency doesn't become the first mass adopted use case of the blockchain. And I was definitely wrong on that one. It definitely became, kind of the first adoption. And funny enough, it actually kind of scared me away from the space early on. Like 3 years ago, I was actually on a podcast called the Bad Crypto Podcast. And I was like, guys, I don't want to deal with like the financial component. And there seems like to be a barrier to entry and only the rich get richer. And there was like these bros that were in there that I don't get along very well with, the kind of bro-y culture. Mm-hmm. And it wasn't until I kind of saw the light of what like a smart contract was. And I was like, wait a second, like someone can own this and it can unlock things within a community and unlock our ways to do things. And I mean, I guess you could say it's all history now. It's been almost 2 years of kind of, you know, kind of jumping into Web3. And, you know, we launched the podcast last November, and that kind of brings us up to date. And, you know, I'm a proud girl dad of three little girls. They're 12, 11, and 9 years old. So, you know, I have the extra motivation that I hopefully get to help kind of carve out a future that, you know, they'll be proud to live in as well.
Amazing. I love that. And there's a lot to sort of unpack in that journey there. Like, first, I'd like to touch upon your entry, like with the whole cybersecurity space. Georgie and I actually run an IT recruitment firm. That's been our first business that we launched together. So I've worked in IT recruitment for like 16 years. And it is so unique to find someone in the space that has got these real elevated communication skills coupled with the technology skills as well. So I love that you've actually, you capitalized on that, and you've used it as a place to be able to educate, maybe, and speak to non-technical people and really bring people on a journey by having that ability to really break things down into layman's terms and make the entry into technology seem really achievable to your average person. Because I think the tech talk can really scare people off, and that's probably what, you know, puts a lot of women off in terms of like gaining into entry into the space. Because we, even just from like a general software development perspective, or, you know, the diversity just in technology as a whole, never mind Web3, we really try to do our best where possible to provide diversity in the shortlists that we give to companies. But trying to get more women into the space is a challenge, even in Web2, never mind Web3. So it really is amazing that you're actually using the softer skills that you've got, you know, and really making sure that you're making an impact in the Web3 world. And just when you mentioned Guy Kawasaki there from Apple, I was lucky enough to be at an event a couple of years ago, Startup Grind in Melbourne. Mm-hmm. Wow, right. That guy has got such a presence. Mm-hmm. You know, I was hanging on his every word. And actually, until that event, I actually didn't know who he was. And then I started following them afterwards. And, you know, when you've got that ability to really command an audience and really get people hooked, what a skill. And it's criminal to not use the fact that you've got that skill to make an impact in the world. And I think like that's absolutely what you have, you know, as Georgie kicked off by saying, you really have inspired us and helped with educating us in the space as well. And it's like you bring the energy, and it's like it's captivating, and you can captivate an audience. So that would take me nicely onto like my first question. Like, you really have managed to capture a real loyal following, Fanzo, and like rightly so. But what do you feel has been like your secret sauce for really building that community up, but not just building it up, right? You've really managed to keep a loyal following very engaged. So what is that secret sauce, and how have you gone about that?
Well, I mean, I love the question, and I will say, you know, I have to give a shout out just from the previous comment to some of my early bosses. I had a couple bosses that didn't look at my age or my experience and say, you don't get to do these things. They looked at it and said, hey, you're comfortable being the communicator. You're comfortable being the face. We'll put you on stage, even though I was the youngest on the team. And I like to think Web3 removed some of the barriers that others, you know, were not able to have. And I'd also just throw in, you know, I think oftentimes technology, the complexity of technology is often used as a weapon to make people feel as though it's harder to get in, right? It's like, if others feel like this is so complex, they'll either not get in and I have no competition, or they'll have to hire me to get in. And I've felt like that has been, really a shame. And I think that's partially what motivates me to learn. I love to go as deep as I humanly possibly can to learn, so that I can then come out and translate it. And I'll just say, I wish I knew that there was a job, like through college in my early career, that was just really translating the geek speak, right? Like, that's really what I did in my career. But there was no like job that said, can you be the person that can talk to the computer science team and to our executive leadership? And there was like, no one told me that was a role, because I probably would have signed up for it, you know, early on.
Yeah.
And you know, it's kind of funny how that all kind of plays together. And to, you know, answer to your question, you know, I appreciate the kind words. And, you know, I've had, this is my eighth podcast. And if you add up the first seven's total listens, it doesn't equal the amount of listens that we've had on this one podcast. And most people probably wouldn't even have known the names of them, because not many people listened. And so I do give credit to the fact that, you know, like, I was an early adopter on Google Plus. I ran one of the longest running shows on Google Plus and Google Hangouts. I had the luxury of interviewing likes of like Tony Robbins and Damon John. But the platform kind of fizzled out. And I think for a lot of people, they could look at that as like, well, I tried to be an early adopter. I tried something new. It failed. I'm going to stick to, you know, the spaces that are more concrete. For me, I looked at it and was like, how much fun was it that I got to set a culture? I got to try and push what is possible and teach others along the way. And so I owe a lot to like a lot of what others would look like as failures, or Brian wasted his time on certain things. I don't look at any of them as a waste of time. They all were the things that allowed me to put things in my tool belt, you know, to really step into this. And then the other part of it is, I have really two roles that I it kind of goes into my keynote and then the things I talk about, which is, I always tell people to press the damn button, right? That's my saying, is press the damn button. And the two rules on that is that, first one is, you have to remember and own that perfection is a fairy tale, right? I don't believe, you know, it's tough for a lot of us. We all want to do our very best, but I'm very much own. Like, I talk about on the podcast on a regular basis what I've done wrong and the NFTs that I've gone wrong and what I've learned that I wish I knew you know, previously. And I think removing that barrier, I think, helps for people to recognize that I'm no different in that sense. And then the second rule that was with a press the damn button is that control is an illusion. You can really only control yourself. You can't control what other people do or other people say. And for me, getting over the need to control an environment, like, I recognize that for me to do this, especially every single day, I could be nothing else but myself. Like, anyone that's ever heard of anyone like, you know, catfishing or impersonating, that takes a lot of work, like a lot of work. And so for me, it was like, I'm just going to step in and recognize that I can't control how other people think of me or what, how I'm judged, but I can recognize that I don't need to be perfect, and those that can relate with me will relate with me. And it's really worked, you know, pretty magically in this Web3 space. And, you know, I still believe we're just getting started.
Wow. I just love everything you just said there, because you've touched on something that I really do feel holds so many people back, is that fear. And a lot of it is what fear of failure, fear of what other people will think. And it's debilitating for so many people. When Pam and I started this podcast, we had so many people come up to us and be like, oh, I'd love to start a podcast, but, you know, I wouldn't know where to begin. And I'm scared of what people think, or if I get something wrong. And I'm like, who cares? Like, that's all part of the journey, right? There's no such thing. Success doesn't come without a few failures. And I feel like in our society, we really put so much focus on what success should look like, and we don't talk enough about those failures. Like, you've got a hugely successful podcast now, but you had seven before that maybe no one ever heard about, right? And people don't know that about you. They just see Fanzo now as this, you know, keynote speaker, confident, number one podcast. They don't see all the things that you had to do to get there. So that really sort of leads me on nicely now, because we do have a lot of entrepreneurs and people that want to start their own projects and just get into this whole Web3 space. What advice would you have for people wanting to get started in Web3 and or maybe launch their own projects? Like, what are you seeing in the market? How should founders be thinking right now? And how is it different from, say, a Web2 business?
Yeah, you know, I mean, I love all the things that you added there as well, right? I think you know, part of the failure conversation was that we really only didn't, we only discovered people's failures after they've already succeeded and way beyond like where we're at. Like, and I'm just a big believer in like, come along on the journey with me. I can't promise you're going to, you know, make money. I can't promise you're going to know everything, but I will promise you that we're going to learn together and we're going to figure this out as we go. And for me, like the other part of failure that I think is too often misstated is that it does hurt, and failing is not fun and not something that anyone wants to do. And I actually like, I often challenge like it having, I don't like the, when it's presented like it's a necessary evil or necessary step into success, because I think that actually mitigates that. Like, failure, yes, it could be difficult. It might hurt. You might be stuck in it for a while. But the beauty of failure is that if you believe in your heart that you will never settle for failure, failure is always temporary. Like, I every time when I'm doing something, I'm like, well, it fails, I'll figure out what to do next and I'll go forward. And I think oftentimes the state of failure, we almost assume like, well, if I fail, then I can never do another podcast. And I'll just tell anybody, mm-hmm. you know, if you create a podcast that nobody listens, nobody knows that you even failed because nobody listened, right? Like, like that's like the caveat there. And I, you know, like I, in my podcast and like, you know, through, I love to use things that like kind of remind me or keep things easy. And I always, we call it the three dams in our, in my kind of my language, was this first one being press the damn button, right? You won't know what works until you try it. I will argue that right now we haven't even tapped into 1% of what is possible in Web3. And so if you don't see someone doing something that you want to do in this space, it means we need you really bad. And if you see someone else doing it in this space, it means we need you really bad, because we need more people doing kind of the great things and things kind of the right way. So that's where you'll press the damn button comes from. The other one I say is, you know, raise your damn hand, which is just a simple way of saying like, this opportunity in front of us is something that is just, it's beautiful. And there are lots of people that are going to sit back and listen to the podcast. Some people are going to take notes. Some people might get excited and build a strategy or think about doing something, but there's only a few people that are going to take action. And when you recognize that it is as simple as being the person that takes action and raises your hand, you know, if you go into a Twitter space and you have a question, do you have any people that are sitting next to you that probably have the same question and they just are hoping someone asks it? And like going up, and I tell people, I've done this for a long time, is even if I think I know the answer to the question, I will often go into a room and ask a question because I think, well, maybe someone's going to tell me something I can learn. And what if it gives others a lesson there, you know, kind of in the audience? And then the last one, of course, is in the whole, like, you know, we hear about like, do your own research. And I added, a, you know, do your own damn research. But the beauty of Web3, yeah, it kind of just adds that little emphasis to the conversation. But I think the beauty of Web3 versus Web2 is that Web3 is encouraging and empowers transparency. It also allows us mm-hmm. to scale and create movements in ways that we were often either siloed or prevented. And especially, you know, for, you know, our women audience or those that identify as women or non-binary that have been for far too long, you know, not only not given the seat at the table, but when given the seat at the table, not given the voice or the impact that not only have we needed as a society and a world, but that was presented. And I look at this right now and say, like, this is the greatest opportunity to take what you want and what we need. And I do look at the culture that we're building. And, you know, I'm, you know, as big of an advocate and ally that I can, you know, humanly be, as far as, you know, I believe in this space being very, you know, it's rewarding for those that are willing to stick up and support those that maybe have not been able to have that in Web2. And I look at it every day as an opportunity to add, you know, inclusivity and also empower voices that we know this world needs. And I think anyone that can look at pre-pandemic and recognize that the world was pretty broken and we're still figuring out how to come forward. And the beauty is we have two choices: to go back to the way it was before and kind of just kind of go on our merry way, or embrace the possibility that we can reimagine what a future looks like. And, you know, as a dad of three little girls, when I look at them and think about, you know, how amazing can I be that already, like, there are NFTs that my daughters hold that I look at them as mentors and leaders that my daughters are already inspired by, and they're 12, you know, they have a ledger, they each have a ledger. So I've got them started a little early, but, you know, for me, that's part of what Web3 offers, is it's a layer of transparency, but I think it's an untapped opportunity of possibilities. And so that's where I would definitely, you know, hopefully lean people towards.
Hey, I hope that you are enjoying today's podcast. I am just popping on in here to say on the 23rd of September, we are opening the doors to the Sisterhood Club and the Sisterhood School. We will be launching 1,111 sister NFTs that will grant you immediate access to the Sisterhood School. So I encourage each and every one of you who listen to this podcast to please put your name down on the Golden Goddess list to get early access, $50 off the mint price, and a chance to win a one-on-one Golden Goddess. So pause right now to go and do that, because I do not want you to miss out, and I really hope that you enjoy the rest of today's podcast.
Oh, I love that. I love Powerful. That. That's got me so excited. And I'm just sort of sat there looking at Pam, like, because we felt exactly the same way when we started Sisterhood.
Yeah.
We you know, and we sat there and we thought, do you know what? There's such a big opportunity in this. Mm-hmm. And we as women do want to have a seat at the table. We want to shape this. We want to go all in and just give this a go. Like, let's just mm-hmm. go for it. And mm-hmm. what you just said then about, like, looking for opportunities, like, Pam and I are very, very passionate about education and self-development. And it's definitely shaped our journey and shaped who we are today, mm-hmm. which is why we're building Sisterhood School as part of our utility to give people access to these courses on finances, personal, you know, mindset, self-love, mm-hmm. all the things mm-hmm. that, you know, we think is really important to live a full life, right? Yeah. But I think you're so right. We are just getting started. And I think what's super exciting is the innovation and the businesses that are going to be, mm-hmm. they're going to come from this. Yeah. That's what excites me. Yeah. And I'd love to ask you now as well, because you are so in this space and you're minting an NFT every single day, which is just incredible, right? So what should people be looking for when they're minting, when they're buying into projects? Like, I'd love to know your process of what you go through when you are looking at projects. What's your thought process? What are you looking for? And what do you think makes a good project?
Well, I love the mission of what you guys are building. And I believe there's so much in that empowerment conversation, right? Where it is about, like, knowing, I tweeted this out this morning. I said, we have to know our self-worth. And a couple of people fired back and said, Brian, where was I taught how to own my self-worth? And I said, literally said, yeah, like, I said, slide in my DMs. I got you, right? Like, it was like, for me, it was like, let's talk about what that looks like. Let's, especially for creatives or artists, or, you know, I don't know anyone, you know, most people in my world or my life, when they look at what's possible, it was always about, like, okay, finding someone that looks like me or is me that has done it before. Yet we also know that we are all beautifully unique and have an opportunity to kind of step into what makes us, you know, that unique person. And I think that kind of ties into the answer on the NFT projects, right? There, you know, I'm buying an NFT every day. So this is 283 days in a row, buying an NFT. We've done it on 28 different blockchain marketplaces, which most people don't even know. I didn't know there was that many that were available. But, you know, the goal of that was simply, when I started the podcast, I was very aware that I don't want to create something that was just for those that had the funds or the financial capabilities to jump into NFTs. And that really concerned me. And I said, what if I bought an NFT every day and I was able to capture what it was like every day with a different NFT project, and we could use that as a way for to teach people and to show people all of the different utility. And I will tell you, we have every piece of utility you've ever imagined, from fashion to music to art to spoken word to, you know, online courses to membership to in-person events. We have a great one from Australia about for music and travel. And I'll say the project has opened my eyes to recognizing, first of all, that there are a lot of great people that want to accomplish great and impactful things. And I think the tough part with NFTs is that you have to understand that in many ways you're building a business. And, you know, also in the case of a year ago, what worked in this space is really what no longer works. We are, it's kind of like before Amazon and now with Amazon. Like, before, we really didn't know. We would buy something at the store and hope it was, you know, what we wanted, or was it was something that was good. Mm-hmm. And now it's like, before we buy something, we could read, you know, 12 blog pages, watch 10 videos, look at all the reviews on Amazon. And I would argue the NFT space is getting to the spot where we are smarter and we want to invest in, you know, great people and that are building something that can make a great impact. But that means you have to kind of have an understanding of your business plan and your objectives. And I will say one of my biggest things that I look for is kind of a clear definition of what does success look like for your project, right? And I love that you guys do that very mm-hmm. well, right? You sum that up so easily. And I think for a lot of projects that isn't the case. And I think that they might have a great vision, but if you haven't clearly and overly and over again put it out there, how can any of us even know what it is that you want to accomplish or what this is going to be?
Yes.
Mm-hmm. And then the other part of it too is I think there's a tendency to feel as though we have to do everything right away. And I will tell you, I think the thing that we need more so than anything else is just great communicators, right? From a storytelling perspective to an honest perspective, right? Like the blockchain is very transparent. You can look at my wallet and look at every NFT, the good ones, the bad ones, the ones I should have sold, the ones I shouldn't have sold. The beauty of that is it opens the door. The scary part for that is that for a lot of people, that is getting to that place of, I have to just recognize that I'm not perfect. And so as founders, I think overly communicating right now is something that I think is essential. I think it's something that if maybe you're listening to this, you're like, that's not my skill set. But there's plenty of people you can partner on your team that you can bring on that can help communicate and tell that story. So I look at that communication component. And then I also, you know, I look at it as, you know, really comes down to one word, and it comes down to trust, right? Can I trust the people that are building it, that they're going to deliver on the promises that they're making, which is utility and roadmap? And then do I also trust that what they want to accomplish is possible and that others might see that as well, right? And I think, you know, when you're getting into a project, there's some projects that I minted back in December. And I'll tell you, there's one that comes to my heart right now. It's called Alpha Girl Club. It's an amazing project. And I discovered it and I minted it, and there's a 10,000 piece collection. And on day one, there was only 47 sold. And I remember just shaking my head and going back and looking over my research. And I was like, it's a great project, a great founder, a great vision, great team. And what I recognized in that moment was that other people just haven't been exposed to that yet. And, you know, I was proud to say, like, 2 months later, they sold out the collection. They finally got some momentum. And then recently in New York, they actually rented out the entire Times Square to do yoga and mindset in New York City that project. And like, for me, it's like,
yeah,
it validated that piece where it was someone that I trusted. I believed in what they wanted to accomplish, and I understood that they had the path to make it happen. And just because it only sold a couple hundred the first day, I was extremely confident that it was going to be a successful project. And it was kind of cool to see that validated at the end as well.
Yeah, I love that you've just shared that story, because I think, like, you know, like, gone are the days now that people are just going to release an NFT project. It's just like purely art, and it's just going to go boom, sell out, 10,000 pieces gone. And I think what we're finding now is, like, when you see the builders in the bear market that are really being meaningful and intentional with what they're creating, like, that's just been beautiful to see. And I love that you've just shared that, like, they sold 47 and you're just like, what's going wrong? But like that consistency and just like showing up every single day and proving that you actually genuinely believe in what you're building, like when you get that momentum, it's just going to explode and it's going to sell out. And that's such a great story. So thank you so much for sharing that. And, you know, just touching upon how the NFTs have really change from just being project pieces to they are businesses, right? And that's what Georgie and I have actually said from day dot. This isn't just a project for us. This isn't about a PFP. This isn't about a sellout. We are building a business for the future. We want to have impact. And to us, it wouldn't matter if, you know, it was 47 the first day or it was a sellout. At the end of the day, we're in this for the long term. Mm-hmm. And, you know, building that community can sometimes happen overnight for other people. You know, it does take a while to just like show up and gain that momentum on what it is that you're doing, but really building a sustainable business for the long term is absolutely, I think, what you would need to come in, you know, to this space to do now. And we've got a lot of people that are brand new to the space that are actually in our community. And if you were to sort of speak to our community at the moment and our audience, like what would you say that people should be looking out for when investing in their first NFT? Like what are the pitfalls that people should be avoiding?
So, I mean, it's a great question. I preach that I think everyone must be a collector before they're a creator. So I think for anyone that's like, hey, I have an idea for my first NFT. I don't work with anyone that comes to me with that idea. I come back and say, I want you to collect first. I want you to go understand some of these nuances. It's not that everything is brand new, but you're going to get a lot of aha moments. You're going to get some emotional, you know, feelings that you weren't even expecting. And there are actually some positive things that are going to help impact you. So I think the first thing I always just say is like, I really hope that people become a collector before they're a creator. And then the second part of it is look at the first couple NFTs that you're buying, not for that idea of financial gain, rather looking at it as an investment on learning. And if you look at it and saying, hey, this is money that I'm spending to learn and embrace this curiosity, then it's more about like finding art that you like or a project that others are in as well. Like I really think, you know, going in it alone, it can be a little bit scary. The beauty of it is, you know, once you own that NFT, there's, you know, a couple hundred or thousand other people that are with you on that ride. You all are there because you benefit and rise together. Like that rising tide lifts all ships. I feel like Web3 enables that unlike anything I've ever seen before. And then the other part of it, you know, when you're looking at the projects itself, don't overthink it because like you it's early when you're starting, you don't know what you don't know. And in many cases, people will kind of get overwhelmed by there. And I think it's a beautiful thing to kind of go into it and say, like, I'm going to learn and try things out. And as I'm learning and trying things out, for me, it's an opportunity to discover a lot of things on that. And I think the only caveat to that is we do have to be, you know, as far as the security components, like I think, you know, taking the security aspect, you know, extremely serious. I worked a whole decade in cybersecurity. Yet I was very public back on March 12th. My wallet was compromised and, myself and three others were part of an exploit, that took $1.8 million worth of NFTs from the three of us. And, you know, for me, as someone that has worked a decade in cybersecurity, I don't say that to scare people off. I just say that the number one vulnerability that we have in almost every one of these cases is just us as humans, right? Like my daughters were on the computer, they were playing Roblox. I told them I need to go buy my NFT for the night. I kind of kicked them off the computer. I clicked one wrong button. And rather than me reading what was on the pop-up, I just clicked the button, you know, underneath it. And it was on me. Yes, there were some things that happened that were, you know, some bad people doing some bad things, but ultimately I clicked on the button without reading. If I would have taken three more seconds just to read, I would have recognized that what it was telling me it was doing was not what I was trying to do. But I think there are some great onboarding as far as like the security and your wallets. And you also just, I think for everyone that's kind of thinking about getting into this space, like there is no better time than right now, because this space, like for those of us that are here, right? Those of us that are still kind of here, we want to onboard and support. And I will tell you that day I got compromised, it was one of the most violating things that I had happened to me online ever. It really hit me hard. And a couple of my favorite projects that I had minted 9 months ago and never listed once for sale were stolen from my wallet. And I posted it publicly. I'm kind of a content person to begin with. So the first thing I did when I realized it was I hit screen record on my computer, and I have the whole thing, like as the NFTs were leaving my wallet, I have the whole thing documented. But I posted it out there and said, oh my goodness, this collection that I've been building, my wallet was just compromised. And I'll share this, you know, within the first 12 hours, 17 project founders went into their own personal bag and said, Brian, send me your wallet. I'll send you a replacement NFT to replace the one in your collection. And for me, that signed everything. It was like, oh my, like these people, they understood what I was trying to do from the bigger vision. And, you know, I own the fact that I was the one that clicked on the wrong button, but they also were willing to come there and be that support. And to me, that's just a beautiful, you know, use case. I own multiples of those 17 people that kind of reached out to me. But you know, like that's the beauty of the space. There are some bad people in here doing some bad things. There are still some bro-y people that are unfortunately still kind of playing from a playbook that will soon be outdated. I firmly believe that, but I do believe as a whole, this space is a beautiful opportunity to connect with some great people that are doing great things. And really there's no better time to get in.
Yeah, absolutely. And I think like the security piece is it's so important, right? And especially with the type of project and the business that we're building, we obviously we're looking to educate and bring women into the space. And I hate saying this, but it's just fact, right? Women do not earn as much money. There is obviously that pay gap, and like as a whole in a generalization, you know, we've not got as much of a disposable income. So for me, if one of the women that had bought into Sisterhood Club ended up getting, you know, pieces stolen from them or got their wallets compromised, that would really hit me really, really hard. So that's why Georgie and I have been really passionate about making sure that people are as educated as possible. And that comes from like the content that we're creating, like what people learn through the podcast or newsletter, like what we're actually putting out with our lives, like educating people as much as possible, but also not scaring them off. You know, so it's like trying to find that fine balance. But you are right, like it's just like such a wonderful community, and I've really found it just like such a beautifully collaborative and supportive place to be. And that's what I've absolutely loved about it. It's been very welcoming. And you know, just to like go back to like raising your hand, I think I had a moment when you were talking about putting up your hand, asking the questions. You know, if you don't ask, you don't know. And I think like that is so important. But I feel as though that really stems back to like the inner child in all of us, you know, being at school and being absolutely petrified to put your hand up in case you ask something stupid and the whole class laughs at you, you know. But you know, the online space, it's been so far, any question that I've asked, like even back at the beginning, I was like, right, okay, this could really possibly come across as a bit stupid, but I'm just going to ask it anyway. And it's been absolutely brilliant. People just come together and make sure that they are offering their value. And I think that that's just really, really important. To be able to share and bounce off each other. So that's absolutely fantastic. But I'd also like to like stem into, I listened to one of your podcasts where you actually spoke about attention span. And I absolutely love this, right? It was a light bulb moment for me when you were saying how like people go on about the kids these days having like a really short attention span, when in actual fact, they are just exposed to so much that they just do not have time for shit content. And I thought, that is absolutely hilarious. I have, like, you know, they've grown up in a world where they've got so much at their fingertips, and it's not an attention span problem. So it's not easy to capture the attention of people in your target community these days. So in terms of like Web3 content, right, you do such a great job of it. Like, what is your advice for the builders out there right now? People are just at the beginning of their project, they're gearing up towards their launch, whatever stage they're at. Like, what's your advice for people out there to capture the Web3 community's attention and maintain that attention of the people as the projects are going to grow over time?
Well, yes, I mean, think about it from an attention perspective. It's such an interesting, you know, conversation, right?
It's
because
so funny.
You know, it is, and I love that you know, kind of connected that. And you know, I will say for those that are, you know, in that building phase, like I think the beauty of this space, and I will also just tap in to say that, you know, I believe we can create a future where the idea that women are paid less is no longer the case. I believe Web3 is that vehicle to make that happen. And damn it, if we're not going to make that, you know, part of the, you know, kind of this overall, you know, mission and our ability to expose people, no matter where, you know, they are in the world, no matter who they are. Like, there's so many, you know, great musicians that none of us have heard their music. So many, you know, talented artists who's, you know, have never felt like they could, spend the time, you know, working on, you know, sharing their craft. And I believe that's partially what I, you know, kind of keeps me motivated as a technologist, is that I believe the technology is here to make us shine as humans, not to replace what we do as humans and not to get in our way. And, you know, with that in mind, you know, part of building a community in this space, it can be very overwhelming. And even creating content can be very overwhelming. You know, doing a podcast, doing a newsletter, as you mentioned, the advice I would have is, you know, give people access to you. Like, the word I always talk about is access. And, you know, the Gary Vee always talks about there's a different approach to creating content versus documenting your journey. And for a lot of people, they'll tell me, Brian, I know everything about you. You're creating content all the time. And I'm like, not really. I mean, this year I have been, because I'm doing a podcast every day. But for the most part, people felt like I was creating content all the time, but I was really just documenting things, right? Setting up a camera and creating what I'm creating and kind of talking out loud. And a lot of times I will capture things with no intention of sharing it. But down the road, it might be a great vehicle, or it might be a great opportunity to let people in. And so I think for a lot of people, it they're like, okay, I have to build this. I have to create the build this business this way. I need to communicate this. I need to build community. I actually think that communicating and that building community is fluid throughout the entire time and kind of giving, you know, I don't know what the, you know, the, let them in to see how the sausage is made or so that they can, you know, they can really see the process. And I will tell you, you know, when I talk about marketing right now in Web3, I firmly believe the future of marketing is relatability. How can you relate with people? And the beauty thing is if you let people in and realize that you're not perfect and that you're learning as well, guess what? Those people are learning as well. They're not perfect. And all of a sudden we connect on some things that I think have been far too, you know, kind of eliminated from our exposure. And then the last thing I'll just share on that kind of idea of, you know, as we're kind of thinking about building is, I believe we have to recognize that we don't have to build alone, right? For whatever reason in Web3 and NFTs, like everyone has to create a Discord from scratch. Everyone has to create a Twitter account. And then we have to create, we have to get a following. We have to get everybody on a white list. I believe we're moving past that. Like my prediction is we're going to create kind of ecosystems and, you know, collaboration opportunities where we're going to be able to grow together. Let's build on top of what we're, each other are building and just continue to raise the bar. And so for those that are out there and you might feel overwhelmed, just recognize that I believe the opportunity to find others to work with, other projects to work with. And we're starting to see that more and more. I mean, I've had, I think, 8 or 9 podcasters that are NFT podcasters on my podcast. And people are like, I would get messages every time. Like, fans, like, what are you doing? Like, why would you? And I was like, we need more education. We need more opportunities to learn. Yeah. And if I can bring them on and highlight them to my audience, why would I not take that opportunity? And I think if we can have that, and you know, and I'll say like my, you know, the mantra of our podcast is that we is greater than me, right? I talk about it a lot on the show. Mm-hmm. And I truly, like if that. You believe that we, that together we can do bigger and better and make bigger impact than we could individually, I think Web3 is the greatest space to, you know, to get involved in.
Amazing.
Yeah, I completely agree with that. And, and that's kind of the reason why Pam and I started this podcast, because we wanted to meet other female founders and other founders in the Web3 space as well and just bring them on and share our stories. And at the end of every podcast, we always have a really good chat. And we always say, look, if there's anything I can do for you and vice versa. We're running an in real life event in a few weeks time. And we've got a lot of those people in the podcast coming to that event. We're going to be partnering up. And that's what it's all about for us, really. It's like fun. Elevating fun, you know, just all going on this journey together and supporting each other. But Franco, I've absolutely loved this conversation today. I've just literally smiled throughout the whole thing, but I'd love to get your thoughts. I know no one's got a crystal ball, but where do you think Web3 is going? What do you think we are, you know, what is the future in your personal opinion of, you know, what is next?
So, I mean, I think the beauty of this space is that you listen to all the things we've talked about so far. None of that is created overnight. None of that is based on short-term success. And I think, unfortunately, the NFT market as we've known it is very controlled by variables that we can't control, right? How the market is going, what is the price of a cryptocurrency that we don't have any control on. But if I look at what is being built right now, it's the idea that short-term waves aren't going to impact those that are delivering on long-term missions, right? So I look at this as like we are weeding things out. And I'm not one that says like I'm glad that the market has had a tough time recently, because I think there has also been a lot of great projects and great people that we probably left the space, unfortunately, right? They've been either, you know, burnt out or they're given up. And I think hopefully we can, you know, find ways to onboard and even forgive people that maybe have made mistakes early in this arena, because let's face it, you know, when it's the wild, wild west and people are doing things even oftentimes outside of their character, we're going to make mistakes. We're going to do things that maybe we're not proud of. But I do believe as a culture and a society that, we, you know, we are all not perfect. And I hope that we can, you know, kind of walk through that way. And I, you know, if I looked at the future, you know, people talk a lot about like mass adoption or what is like, we're not ready for mass adoption at this moment. Like this, as a culture, as a community, the tools, the technology, like we need more innovation to protect us from ourselves, right? The fact that the button that I clicked on that took NFTs out of my wallet is the same color as the button would have bought an NFT, to me is just, it's a crying shame that like, how have we not changed the UI UX experience? And it's because we're just very early. And I think so with that in mind, I think it's less about how do we get more people or everybody into the space, but how do we empower people that are doing it well to tell their friends, right? Because like that's the, and so my prediction in the, especially in the education side of this is we have to think of it from a train the trainer perspective versus just educating like kind of the masses, which means I not only have to help teach you how to understand the security and understand NFTs, but I want to teach you so well that you can teach others. And I think that is such a beautiful byproduct. And I think we're starting to see it, you know, with some of the projects that, you know, are kind of coming, you know, incubating other projects and they're bringing them kind of into their space. And then the I'd say the other prediction I'll throw out there is that, you know, a lot of the technology that we believe will make things even, you know, more accessible is not there yet either, right? So like, it's not only we're not ready as a culture, but like some of the things that blockchain can enable now that we know it, like, oh, okay, we want like, I mean, just recently, you know, the founder of Ethereum, Vitalik came out and was like, I think we should have NFTs that are not able to be sold or traded, and he referred to them as soulbound tokens. And I was like, mm-hmm. yes, like think about that from our passports, our driver's license, our birth certificates, you know, but the technology is not there yet. So now that we have the idea, there are all these amazing, innovative people that are going to help kind of, you know, drive that forward. And so I think we're going to see some of those things, but I think unfortunately, just to be, you know, kind of honest, I don't believe we as a like kind of like what is the bar of innovation? I think we have a couple more years of very similar space, right? Where we're learning. There's still going to be people that are going to unfortunately fall for scams or click on the wrong buttons, and we just have to recognize that those things are going to happen because we're all human, and that I think a lot of the innovation will happen on the fact that we are going to build each other up. We're going to help some of this technology learn. Like, I mean, I think right now I have 9 apps on my phone that are in beta where people just reached out and said, Brian, could you test this? And I might easily say, you know, pay me to test it. Or I could say, like, I don't have the time. But if I believe in the space and if I can share my feedback and how I'm using something, then that's kind of where I look at it. So I do think it's, you know, we're going to have to kind of roll with the punches through some of these, you know, these, you know, growing pains. But I think ultimately, I mean, anyone that's, I mean, I love doing Twitter spaces right now because the people that are here that are showing up, they have good hearts. There's some really, just really amazing people that, you know, inspire me daily, that excite me every day. And I think, you know, who doesn't want to surround yourself with people that are trying to big, you know, make something happen, you know, bigger than themselves. And I think we're going to continue to kind of grow upon that over the next couple of years.
Yeah, I love that. And I think I just on a personal note, obviously you're like top girl dad. You know, you talk about doing content that's really authentic, and one of the moments for me, I thought, right, okay, I really do like this guy now. He's inspired me, he's educated me, he's got me into building this business. But when you were at the VCon conference and you left the next day to go to a dance show for your daughters, and I thought, no, there's a guy that's got his priorities right. But like, you've got 3 daughters, I've got 2 absolute beautiful little human beings, right? And I think that it is going to take people like you and I in this space that are going to create a world that we want our daughters to be a part of. And that was a huge part of my inspiration for joining Georgie on the journey of building Sisterhood Club as well, and the Sisterhood School that we've got behind that as part of the utility, because I really want like women and young children to be involved in our Sisterhood Club, because I feel that the education that you get at school doesn't necessarily set you up for thriving in the world. And you know, we talk about raising our hands, we talk about speaking up, we talk about asking the questions, but unfortunately, for whatever reason, I genuinely feel that young girls do leave school not having that confidence built up, and it takes for us to be adults before we start self-educating. And I see some really like wonderful young girls out there that just, you know, they just don't quite have that intrinsic self-confidence, and they don't have the tools at their disposal, you know, to be set up to thrive. And that's certainly what we want to create with the Sisterhood Club. We want to really make sure that we're empowering and educating and encouraging women and girls to use their voice. So it really is, I just want to make sure that people out there that have got ideas that they feel that can contribute to making the world a better place, get involved in Web3. There's so many people out there that want to help, encourage, uplift and inspire and provide everybody for a platform. We're all here. We can all join together and just make Web3 a wonderful place to be. So thank you so much for serving as an inspiration. And for people that are starting a business, like, and they do have a family, Fanzo, how do you manage to strike a balance between that? Because, you know, you talk about creating content and being really authentic and it coming from an authentic place. And I kind of just go on and I chat and I talk and it's just a part of my day, because genuinely creating content is very, very time consuming. And I love like that authenticity piece. But how have you gone about, just to, on a personal note, how do you manage to strike that balance between parenthood and doing exactly what you do to show up every single day?
Ooh, I mean, I love the mission that you talked about. I got goosebumps a little bit just thinking about, you know, my daughters being able to grow up in a world that they recognize that not only does their voice matter, but their voice is important. And that, for, you know, one of the things you mentioned there, I think is so vital, is that, you know, you don't have to create everything. You don't have to be the artist. I like to say I'm like artistically challenged, although I'm playing a lot with AI art right now, which is a heck of a lot of fun, but that's a whole nother kind of sideshow. But, you know, I would say, you know, like I'm co-parenting and you know, shout out to all those that are also co-parents. That is an adjustment. I think one of the things that I learned, you know, as a co-parent was that some of the things that I painted the picture of, you know, me being, you know, married and three kids and this like white picket fence, although that is no longer the case, you know, as a co-parent, I'm able to kind of reimagine what it is that I can create and establish. And I think that to me is what is keeps me motivated in what I do now. Right. You mentioned the VCon thing and I love that you highlighted that. Cause like I told my daughters, no, I travel a lot and we're very open in like daddy's travel. And I just made a promise. I was like, I won't miss your birthdays ever. Like, I don't care how big of a speaking gig it is. I don't care where I'm at in the world. And when Gary Vee had posted that was when VCon was, I was like, you've got to be kidding me. It's on my daughter's birthday. And I was like, what? And I said, you know what? I'll show up the night before. I didn't even make it, you know, to day one of the event. Cause I showed up the night before, mm-hmm. got to meet with some people and I flew back. And for me, I wasn't doing that to be a good dad. It was actually, I was doing that to kind of like honor the promise and the commitment I made. Mm-hmm. And so I guess that's where, mm-hmm. for me, you know, there are mistakes that I've made. There's things that I can be better at, but I had to move away from trying to find a balance, because I feel like I always was out of balance in one way or the other. I really just try to own that if I'm doing something, if I'm away from my daughters, then I'm going to spend every minute that I'm away from my daughters, soaking up every minute of that experience and living it to the fullest. And then when I am at home with my daughters, that I can do that same. And I think, you know, even, you know, with the podcast and buying an NFT every day, like I sat my girls down when I said I was going to do the podcast and I said, daddy's going to have to, you know, sacrifice a couple of things. And are you guys okay on the weekends that you guys are with me that I might have to spend an hour recording a podcast episode? And of course, my daughters are like, well, daddy, you're so loud. We would have to play outside because you talk so loud. And I was like, okay, well, you know, we can figure that out. But to me, that was part of the beautiful thing. And I will also say, like, you know, for me, the bigger motivation in like being myself is that like I believe everybody in the world, you know, should recognize that like their superpower, their gift is ultimately what makes them unique, and that's themselves. And I wanted my daughters to see that. I wear bright pink shoes on stages. I have my daughters will open my phone like, daddy, your Twitter profile is another picture of, you know, a girl NFT that you own. And for me, they get to see that like I'm unapologetic about, you know, the things I believe in, the people that I'm supporting. And I love that they get to see that, because I think, to your point earlier on education, I think the other thing that's missing is that we just have to let people see that they're not alone in some of these scenarios. And that, you know, for anyone that's out there and you're like, I don't know where I could help or where I could make an impact, I would just challenge you, like, support and amplify and like, thank you and let people know, like, hey, I appreciate you sharing that, or I love that you put that out there. Like, it's amazing how far support like that could go, because I can tell you this daily podcast would not be a daily podcast if it wasn't for all of the amazing feedback that I get throughout this year, because there are days where I'm like, man, I have to record again. Like, you gotta be kidding. I've got COVID twice in the last 45 days. And I was like, well, here comes the test. And for me, I open up my phone and I have a DM from someone that says, Brian, I felt like I had to give up on my true love of art. And it wasn't until your podcast that I was able to realize that there's there's, you know, my art is in my future. And for me, it's like, oh, now I'm showing back up. I'm going to press the damn button. And so for all of those that are, yeah, are kind of wondering where they fit, I would say supporting, amplifying, and just showing people that you care about them in this space, it goes longer and further than anyone can imagine. And I think that's just kind of a beautiful thing of this space as well.
Absolutely. Yeah. And I think it's just so powerful that you know, your kids don't do as you say, they do as you do. Right. Mm-hmm. And by the fact of that, you're showing up every single day and your girls actually see you using your voice, they're going to grow up knowing that they have one and they have the ability to use it. So I think that's just so powerful. And yeah, you're doing a grand job from looking from the outside in, you know, you're doing a stellar job.
That's it, because children just soak it up, right? So I think they watch what you do. They don't listen to what you say often. So I love that. But I think that's a beautiful way just to round off this podcast. I've thoroughly enjoyed myself, and I could literally sit here and chat to you all day. And I'm sure soon we will meet in real life, because Pam and I will definitely be getting around some of the conferences and all the amazing things that this Web3 space has to offer. But Fanzo, for those of you, those that are listening, that want to go and find out more about you, where should we send them? Where should we tell them to go?
Of course. And I mean, I would love to come back down to Australia. I've been there four times myself, but it has been since late 2019 since I was back. So I would love to come back. Maybe we'll be able to meet there as well. And shout out to Australia just as a whole. I love what both of you are building. Is, you know, I will say there's a lot of Aussies that I get to come in contact with in this space. And someone had asked me a question, like, I mean, Australia was one of my, when I was there, I think it was day two, someone looked at me and like, Brian, you're like happy. And I was like, these are my people. Like, you're very free flowing and like, there's like self-deprecating humor and like, just like this, like, don't take yourself too serious, but you understand.
Yeah.
And I will say, like, this space for those people that kind of like recognize that like, we're not perfect and that we can show up and that we're okay asking questions. It's a great thing. And I see that through a lot of my favorite projects happen to have people from Australia in their team. And yeah, so our podcast is NFT 365. It's available in every single podcasting app. We are buying an NFT every day. We're selling the whole collection. So we're holding on to all 365 of them until November 11th. And then we're going to sell them as one. So one person will buy one NFT. And with that NFT, they get 365. NFT is kind of like a time capsule of everything that's going on. So I'd love to have people support on that journey and share with what we're going there. And I am a speaker full time. And so brianfanzo.com is the website with all the speaking. I get to travel the world as a speaker and speak at different events. So I look forward to seeing you guys at an event for sure. And maybe we can record a podcast in person, which I think is even more fun.
Absolutely. Are you going to be a speaker at one of our in real life events?
I was just about to say, if Fanzo could headline another sisterhood social, so there you go, we'll get you down in Australia to host that.
Let's do it. That sounds good to me. Let's make it happen.
You can bring the girls as well, we'll love that. Listen, absolutely fantastic to have you here today, and for everyone that's listened, thank you for listening. Make sure you go and follow and support Fanzo, and we'll see you on the next one. Take care.
Thank you so much for listening to today's episode. I really hope that you enjoyed it. And if you did, please give a little share on your social. And if you have time, please leave a review. And I hope to see you next time. Take care.